Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. And anytime you hear our theme song from Mr. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, you know it's time for Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes. But ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday morning, we have a very, very special guest joining us this Saturday morning. And before I even do anything else, let me just let you know that she was born in the parish of St. James, Jamaica. She was born Ventrice Morgan. She's simply known to the world as Queen Ifrika. And she's coming to town on Sunday, June 1st. But before I make that quick connection to Queen Ifrika, the lioness is on the rise. The lioness is on the rise.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, I am. Yes, indeed.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am. Undoubtedly, she's one of the finest artists to come out of Jamaica. The fearless one. That's right.
We'll be taking care of.
Indeed.
All the children there are.
Yes,
but
I.
If it's required, we'll be on the front line. You can call me by my name. I am ready to roll.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am going to call her by her name. She was born Ventrice Morgan. She grew up with her mom and her stepdad. She's simply known to the world as Queen Ifrika. We have watched her grow. We have watched her develop in one of the finest artists out of Jamaica. She's super talented. She's beloved. And ladies and gentlemen, you can also now put the title, you could put the label, legendary, in front of her name. She has now joined us. Queen Ifrika has now joined the Groovin' Radio team. Good morning, Queen. How are you?
Hi, Rasclem. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Boy, Queen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you every time I see you, wherever you are. If you're in a dark room, the room becomes bright. if it's the dead of midnight, the entire place is so, so bright. How are you doing today, Queen? How are you doing?
I am grateful. I'm giving thanks for this amazing gift called life. You know what I mean?
Indeed, indeed, indeed. You were born in Montego Bay, and that's where I want to start. You were born Ventrice Morgan. What was it like growing up Ventrice Morgan, Queen? What was that like?
Okay, so let me do a correction for you.
Yeah.
I was actually born in Spanish Town.
Ah.
I grew up in Montego Bay. So
okay.
How it goes,
mm-hmm.
I was born in Spanish Town,
mm-hmm.
in Spanish Town Hospital, where the Machai developed.
Oh, boy.
And, but at a very early age,
mm-hmm.
maybe around 2 months old,
okay.
I was taken to St. Mary,
mm-hmm.
to my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and then around at the age of 10 is
right.
when I went to Montego Bay and I grew up.
Indeed.
In
thanks for that correction. What was it like growing up Ventrice? What was that like?
It was, let's say, bittersweet, mostly sweet,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, I grew up mostly with my grandparents, mm-hmm. and they were both, my grandfather was a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and my grandmother was a pastor wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of church conventions, church members coming over on this Sunday, and they'd have big cookings at church, and we had to go to Sunday school and midweek church, and, you know, it was very godly in my very early years in terms of knowing that there was a God. And then when I went to Montego Bay around 10,
mm-hmm.
then I was introduced to the Rastafarian faith from another perspective of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, even though the names in terms of Selassie and Jesus was different,
mm-hmm.
the similarities in principles and disciplines around the God awareness was similar. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had a balanced approach to
mm-hmm.
what it means to serve God. And then, you know, there were the dark sides of it as well. You know, as a child,
mm-hmm.
I never had my mom and my dad around in terms of in those early years.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had my mom at one stage, there were still dark moments that I had to deal with because of issues that she had. But for the most part, I can remember just loving myself through it all. And I think it's become my greatest asset to today. The fact that I was able, even at a young age, to recognize that I was a person. And all the things that were happening to me were just things happening to me. That wasn't who I was.
Any brothers and sisters that you grew up with?
Yes, it was in St. Mary, it was my cousins, it was my three cousins, but in Montego Bay, it was my brother and sister, Isis and Ista. Ista, however, died at the age of 8 because of stigma against Rasta. He went to get water in the community and they ran him down. You know, they used to tell Rasta kids that they'll shame you and stuff like that. And some community members ran him down and he panicked and had an heart attack and died. And he was like, I say this publicly, my favorite sibling, you know, he was such a special kid, you know, and I still miss him up to this day.
Indeed.
But it was him and my little sister, Isis, that we grew together in Mobe.
Now, how did you get the name Queen Ifrika? Because I've heard stories about your mom changing your name and giving you the name Ifrika. How did that go, Queen?
So I was born in the 70s, and those were the radical years, they say, you know. Those were the years of radicalness in a lot of Jamaicans. And so my mom wanted to name me Ifrika, but her friends encouraged her against it because they said they didn't want people to stigmatize me. But she still went ahead and made it a nickname. So she put Ventris Morgan on the bird paper, but she called me Ifrika. And she told me before she died that her reason for doing it was that my face was shaped like Ifrika. So and after a time, I saw it for myself, too. It was shaped like the map of Ifrika. And so when I went to live with her, though, everyone in the household, as their names began with the letter Hi. So it was Aya and Ita and Isis and Ista.
Yeah.
And so they said that I was the one left out. So they changed the A to an I, and I became Ifrika.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. No, you know, you talk about the Christianity in your family background. You talk about Rastafari. As you grow older, because most artists will say, when I ask this question, how did you got into music or why did you choose music? They'll say to me, music chose me. Were you one of those youngsters who had to sing in church, Queen Ifrika?
No, I never had to sing in church, but we sang in church in terms of in the audience of church. I wasn't on any choir or anything like that, you know?
Right.
But there was, my grandmother was a very beautiful singer. So she would sing it. Like, you have more, you know, these kind of elderly ladies, they want to sing a hymn at some point on a Sunday morning. That would be my grandmother. She would always have to go sing a song in the mornings. But I never remember me being in a choir or anything. In school, though, we would take part in school fairs, you know. I'll always go sing a song or dance or something along that line. But it was my musical inclination really was elevated when I went to Montego Bay and went among the Rastafarian community. People would hear me chanting and they'd point to the fact that you have a great voice, you know, what are you doing with it? And I think I'd more give credit to my Rastafarian side in terms of my musical realization.
Indeed. Let's play homage to Montego Bay. Let's play homage to Mobe. Hey, she grew up in Montego Bay. Hey.
Christ of my island is a parish I know. I am the one to tell you cause that's where I grow. No money get there but it just not short. Worries in my flourish while they get to them I perish. No, no. Free up the thing you give me more for more. Free up the thing you give me more for more. Free up the thing you give me more for more.
Check, check. No, Queen Ifrika is in Montego Bay. St. Mary is behind you. Now, Rastafari coming to Queen Ifrika live. Queen Ifrika is embracing Rastafari. What was that like, Queen Ifrika, at a tender age? A Rasta, a roots Rasta girl. What was that like? Because, again, you know, you talk about back then. If we say Rasta, them say we are black heart, man. If we say Rasta, them try to discriminate against us. What was it like for you, a young girl, now a Rastafarian?
Yeah.
What was that like?
So at first, it was a culture shock because where I came from in St. Mary, there was only one person, one individual, a Rasta man. There was only one Rasta man that we ever saw. He was the only one in the community that everybody know that. That I remember his name. They call him Teeth. He was the only one that had locks in the community that somebody could say that's a Rasta man. So when I went to Montego Bay and I was taken to the hills too, it wasn't like I went into a community, I went into the bushes, like, you know, Rasta were living in a bush kind of thing. In Wakland Dab house is not no regular house either. It is like real Rasta. So it was like, what the hell is this? I was very afraid of my stepfather when I first saw this man coming out of this hut. I was like, what the what am I getting into? I'm not lying.
Really?
And so my mom, because first of all, I was supposed to just go for 2 weeks. I was supposed to just go visit her and to promise that she would bring me to meet my biological father and all that kind of good stuff. So I was like, all right, cool. But then she decided that she wasn't going to send me back to St. Mary. So it was very frightening for me because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be living in these hills and I don't know anything about this kind of lifestyle. What am I going to do? And then it began to grow on me because the nature is beautiful. So after a while, my aunt, they had sent me with a lot of relaxers for my hair in case my hair was losing the cream and they could cream it back and all that good stuff. And all that was thrown out the bush. My head became so raggedy. I just started to look like a bush woman, like at that age, you know?
Wow.
And then after started eating the natural food and being among nature, there were birds that were just walking around in the hills like fowls. I was like, wow. That's where my first love now for nature began, because it was beautiful. At the end of the day, it just became something beautiful to be living among. My mom didn't necessarily want me to be Rasta. She said she didn't think I was ready. But then by this time, I started to love it. So
I
literally went against her will to start growing my dreads. And my mom and stepdad also, they didn't worship Haile Selassie as God either. I did that on my own at the time because for them, they said that they worship the Most High, the creator of all things, who also created Selassie. So that was their stance in that moment. But I choose to call the name Selassie by myself to act a bit rebellious, to be honest.
Wow. Spiritually so empowered,
Yes. And so going now to Naya Bingi and going amongst the Rastafarian community, it was amazing because of the difference in approach to lifestyle, in approach to praising God, in approach to just living. Because despite what you see happening with these kind of fake out locks people these days, the core of Rastafari is amazing. You know, indeed, the lifestyle, the true Rasta man, the true Rasta woman, that life. is something worth experiencing.
Indeed.
You know, and I'd still encourage youths today, or anyone who has the inclination to become Rasta,
mm-hmm.
I would still encourage them to find the roots, because it's still there. It's
yes.
just not as loud as it used to be, and music has compromised it a lot too.
Indeed.
Because a lot of people that comes with locks, mm-hmm. they don't love Rastafari. They just love what the benefits of
indeed.
Looking like Rasta gives, you know?
Indeed.
And a lot of people mistake that.
Indeed. You know, Queen, you talk about Wakland Dab House. Now,
yes.
I may be from St. Andrew, but let me tell you something. When I used to go up, when I used to go up into the hills of St. Andrew, where my mother's side of family is from, I used to see the Wakland Dab House. They were made out of bamboo. And then
yes.
they'll take like the clay. And they'll
yes.
mix the clay and they'll rub it on the bamboo, and it and the house look like it becomes like a concrete house. Yes.
I could make you one of those.
Wow.
I could make you one of those. I know how to make those things.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this morning is the one and only, the legendary Ventrice Morgan, known to the world as Queen Ifrika. Now, I'm going to take you up into the hills of Montego Bay now, where you're up there now.
Yes.
And you're knotting up your hair, and no more cream, no more perm, nothing. Them,
yeah.
them throw away all of the oils. Then come music. And you did a song called,
yes.
you did a song called Coconut. Coconut.
I be like coaching with a coconut shell.
Hey.
That is why you can't get over that smell.
Hey.
Babylon, a calf, I still have loved it.
That's right.
It is safe to say it's good for meditating.
True.
A whole of joy, it's a reasoning.
Oh, wow.
I attire you kai herbs are seasoning.
No, Queen, the coconut shell now, and you know, you listen to the lyrics of this song and yeah, burn the eye shank and no. Tell me how that start, Queen. I want to know, how did that start?
So again, it's the association, and then from the association, because influence is a strong thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important to be careful what you're influenced by, because there's something that I love about Montego Bay Rasta man and woman, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They're not even fish. Them not, when you have Rastas from other parts of the island that would dabble with eating a little fish and
right,
eating
right.
a little this and eating a little that, the Montego Bay Rasta
uh-huh.
don't smoke tobacco
mm-hmm.
and them don't eat fish, a strict ital. So the coconut shell
mm-hmm.
is what was the cup
mm-hmm.
that the water was poured in for the bubbling of the water to get the steam.
Yes.
So that's where the aroma would come from. You also had Rastas that mostly deal with steaming, because
yes.
they said it was an healthier aspect to
mm-hmm.
the smoking. So most Montegonian Rasta elders, they would do steaming in opposed to just burning the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that was from just seeing the elders, the Bunga Daniels and the Bunga Eddies and the Bunga Browns, all of these ancients that we saw on Naya Bingi ground,
mm-hmm.
they would congregate and they would build their chalice. And it was such an amazing thing too, because it was high top-notch reasoning, world reasoning. I guess
yeah.
that has to do my ability to be a world person, if
mm-hmm.
I want to put it that way. It was from those kind of experience of hearing elders have world views and worldview conversations on just a broad
mm-hmm.
perspective of what's happening in the world in general. And you know, you're burning some herb and you're meditating. Herb in those days was clean as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like these chemical laced
indeed
herbs that we have now, you know, all these experimenting happening with marijuana now.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
really clean source, especially from around the Westmoreland side, Senti side there,
yeah,
you know, it was really clean
mm-hmm.
marijuana, so it wasn't a worry about affecting your health aside from the smoking of it, you know what
indeed,
I mean?
Indeed.
So yeah, that's I started smoking from the age of 11.
Wow.
Not good, but yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, you talk about the natural form of ganja. And, you know, I had a long conversation recently with Professor Kadimir Naif. And, you know, what Kadimir was telling us is basically how, you know, because of the love of money, what they have done with the natural ganja plant, and they have crossbred it with all different kind of plants. So
we want... why I don't smoke anymore.
So we want folks to understand, you know, because they have actually poisoned ganja. And they've actually turned ganja, and that's why today we can argue that marijuana is a drug, because that's what they have done with it. And it is so sad because we in Jamaica import reggae music, we can import ganja, and we import some of the best, the most brilliant people in the world, and some of the best athletes and football players in the world.
You name it.
Indeed, you name it. That is Jamaica. And you wonder why. Why have they done this? But I'm going to leave that for another conversation. There's a softer side. There's a softer side of Queen. And, you know, way back when, Queen Ifrika said, I want to take you far away. I want to take you far away. Let me play this song. Let me just play this song and ask the question. What were you thinking when you did this song? Listen to this. The voice of Queen. Hey. We have watched her develop into one of the best and the finest.
I want to take you far away.
Hey.
Far away. Far away.
That's right.
Only if you say you'll come. Unto myself is how I want to have you.
Indeed.
Can't see me with nobody else, and I don't know what to do. I see you pass my way each and every day. Could you stop just once? Is all I'm asking.
No, the Rootsy side, the Lovey Dovey side. Doing a song called Far Away, I Wanna Take You Far Away. We still not answer the question yet, how the music drag you in yet. You know?
Yes.
We're going to go back to that.
Yes.
But let's talk about Far Away. Mm-hmm. When you're singing these songs, Queen, what is going through the cranium up there? What's going on up there, Queen?
All right, so from ever since, like Tupac, I'm a sucker for love, right? I am. But my idea of writing love songs, right, is, you know, a lot of us write love songs, and it's always, I love you, I'll die for you, I want to be yours, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's another aspect where I call the realistic approach to love, like, I think women see men that they like as well. Mm-hmm. As much as a man sees a woman that he likes, I think there's women that sees men, maybe they like, that's why I always respect Tanya. It's a pity because it's something like that as well. You know what I mean? Like you see someone, you like someone, you want to be with them, you want to have them in their space. Probably they're not available to you, but it doesn't take away from the thought. And so when I got that rhythm, and another thing with me and writing songs too, I hear stuff in the track itself, because I love to listen to the rhythm, and then I always get ideas from that as well. And when I heard that rhythm, I felt like it was that kind of a energy, you know, it was a kind of a park day, intimate vibe with somebody that you're really into, you know what I mean, from a woman's perspective.
You are one individual who are not afraid of expressing yourself, and you have expressed yourself on many different levels. And let me tell you why I love Queen Ifrika. I love Queen Ifrika because, one, you are a very intelligent songwriter. You are.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I think you choose your work wisely, but then
I do.
Yes, I thank you for that, Queen, because when it comes to social commentary, you're not afraid of taking on the issues that are germane to us as a people, and I say this to people all the time: if Marcus Garvey did not stand up for us, if Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Paul Bogle and Sam Sharp from Montego Bay, if they didn't stand up for us, if Nanny did not stand up for us, Where would we be today? So when I listen to your music, Queen, and I pay close attention to your lyrics, you know. I pay very close attention to your lyrics. And trust me, it has taken us through thus far. This one is called Times. The voice of Queen.
Yeah.
Hey.
Let's look away the voices that gave the people bright. Now we're plunging into darkness.
She's confirmed. A Sunday, June 1st. She's coming to town. Hey. That's the question. Why? I am too, you know. Yes, I. Marcos Gabe. Confirm. Did you know?
The grid of the shatter them, no way of a lot of them. Press up, back up, now the grave them, I go back on them. Them block the national.
No, this is the Queen Eye Freaka that people need to understand. That she is very, very conscious. And if you listen to the lyrics of Queen Eye Freaka, folks, I am telling you, it can move you to another level in life. The same way Marcus Garvey, the same way Nanny, the same way Sam Sharp and all our heroes moved us into where we are today. Because without them, Queen, where would we be today, Queen Eye Freaka?
I'm sitting here and I'm tearing up from listening to Times like these, because I always say to myself that I come from the future. You know, for years I've always said this to people, that I am from the future. Mm-hmm. And I now understand that even more, that we are in the future, because these songs were what I saw coming for Jamaica. Mm. And it was like a cry out to the powers that be in society. I wrote that song at the beginning of introduction of alcoholism into our party scenes, you know.
Wow.
If you look at the years that song came out, I saw when it was happening, and I knew that this was where we're headed if we never did anything about it. Mm-hmm. And when I look and see the condition of my country right now, I'm so broken. Ah. I'm not joking about it. I am really, really broken about the fact that you'd have a force of people that would put so much effort out to do what they call changing of a culture.
Yes.
And yes, we must evolve and we must grow. But would you want to change something that wasn't broken? Our culture was the most amazing experience anyone could have.
Indeed.
And we have switched it out for a devilish society that has no moral, no ethics, no love for God.
Indeed.
It's beyond me. It's very sad. And I still pray to God for an intervention of some sort.
Indeed.
To show, to at least, so that our ancestors won't feel so bad where they are, that this is what we have become, you know. And I'm very upset about it. I'm not lying.
Indeed. Hold your thoughts 1 second, Queen. We're about to say bye to one of our partners. Our partners over there at Hot 97.1 FM HD3. Guys, you're going to miss the rest of Queen Eye Freaka. Eat your heart out. She's live on Groovin' Radio. So good morning to the entire team over there at Irie Jam Radio, as we say bye
hey,
now.
Irie Jam.
Indeed. So now, Queen, the next song I'm about to play, and because we're now in social commentary, and you know, one of the things that I noticed, Queen, is when I look at our national heroes, when I look at the picture of Paul Bogle that they put up, when I look at the picture of Nanny that they put up, when I look at the picture of Sam Sharp that they put up, they will make you think that these people were old people. These were young people.
Exactly.
These were young people. And I think not only did they play a mental game on us, they played a photological game because they make us think that it's only old people can do things. But guess what, folks? And our old people alone can do it because Queen Afrika is a 70s baby. And she got to tell you, and our weedies. And our weedies.
And
our weedies. Tell them, Queen. On Sunday, June 1st, Westchester County Center comes alive. She's bringing the catalog. And our weedies. And our weedies. Hey.
No, man. And our weedies. And our weedies. And our weedies.
Hey.
Them a talk about smile for me, Jamaica. Not evil God, we don't do it for. Remember, we just escaped Maria and Herman. All we do is in squeeze murder.
Confirm.
Right now, we show up on the radar. Like said, Jamaicans are pagan. But we can't bet you anyway. Now the world, we are the nicest human. So big up to the trench down here. And that's why all I will feel you.
Wow. Now, my next question is because I remember having a conversation. And you talk about the hills of Montego Bay. But I'm just going to go, I'm going to go up into the hills of St. Andrew in Warrica Hill. And I remember having a conversation with the late Professor Rex Nelliford from the University of the West Indies. And he wrote a book called Rastas in Kingston. And he said to me once, he said, why did you choose Rasta? And I said to the professor that, boy, you know, when I was growing up, my older brother Michael, and may his soul rest in peace, one of my older brother Michael, he wanted to be a Rasta. And my mother would say to him, not in my household, not at 14 Opetown Road. And I would watch my brother sneak away and to sit around with the Rastafarians and reason with them. And then I started playing football. And when I was playing for Real Mona, and that's when I first came into Bob, saw Bob, and Bob used to walk past my house every day. And the Rasta man them, and you know, they used to, again, black heart man them. My mother would be upset when we sit around the Rastas. But it was a different kind of reasoning. And Professor Rex Nelliford said to me, he would ask the Rastas, what university did you attend? Because they were real teachers, Queen. And I listened to your music, and some would say that you have a graduate degree because your writing skills, Queen Afrika.
Yes.
Where and how did you develop that, Queen?
So, this is where now I give some kudos to Mr. Tony Rebel. I remember I used to sing a lot of cover versions, like when I was on stage, not in recording. So, like, I'd go to a show and I'd sing some Garnet Silk or, you know, whoever was popular at the time. And he started to encourage me to write. But my first song I wrote was when Garnet Silk died, you know. Because I love Garnet Silk very much. And I remember the early morning, about 4 in the morning, when we all woke up and heard that Garnet Silk died. It was the saddest moment in a part of our history in Jamaica. And I remember picking up a book and a pencil and just wrote a song. But my development in writing, because Tony Rebel is a very good writer, you know, and I learned a lot of how to put lyrics together from him, you know. And then, you know, when the student become the teacher, so I learned well, and then I developed on my own in terms of my approach to my style, you know, how I process what comes to my mind, and that's where my professionalism, you know, got even stronger in how I write.
You know, I must congratulate you because you have penned some very, very powerful song. And as I said at the top of, you're welcome. Over the years, we have watched you develop into one of the most powerful voice in reggae music. You know, some would say, yeah, man, one love. Some would say as a singer, songwriter, sing J, DJ, call her anything.
You know?
Her cultural awareness, your cultural awareness, Queen. It is so powerful, that boy, I tell you. But then on the other side, you say you want some fun in your life. And on Sunday, on Sunday, June 1st, you're going to bring the fun side, the cultural side, and the spiritual side to the Westchester Reggae Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, she's confirmed. Sunday, June 1st, my beloved friend, Queen Ifrika, live in town. I can't wait.
Hey. Hey, bigger is the city that on the low pitch up. But talking alone, now put down with pack.
That's
no factories and schools that no cost a lot. Hey, the something with the poor, the mission that.
Hey.
We love free things, but we don't want that.
That's right.
Want to teach your kids, but no ask them that. No need no more talk, you know, things are get too mad out the road. Right now, we're tired of that, so we have that bloodshed, so we have that raping, so we have that suffering, so we have
some fun in our life.
We want some fun in our life. We tell you that that's up and that no road, so be and that no life, so be and that thing fit, so be and we want some fun in our life. We want some fun in our life. Yeah, yeah, man, we have enough tobacco, we have enough rum. We have enough cell phone, we have enough gun. Well, me no need to tell you, so we have enough sex, multiplying child molesters and some downright scum. It's only this for families.
Wow, wow. Now, Queen, when you sit down for write a tune, where's the most comfortable space for you, Queen? Because lyrically, Queen, as a matter of fact, not only lyrically, because I've watched you so many times displaying your craft on the stage, and you dress the part. You act the part,
right.
You play the part. Where is the most comfortable place for Queen Ifrika to write music? Where?
Under a tree with some birds in the background.
as
I love to write in nature, to be honest. You know, or a quiet place. A lot of people wouldn't know, but I'm a serious recluse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe people might think that I'm always around a lot of people. I spend most of my time by myself, right? And so, like, it helps me. Like, I can be in an airport and write a song and drown out all the noise around me.
Wow.
You know, that's how much of in myself I am, not from a negative place, but...
Mm-hmm.
Learning to control your inner self is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
Because a lot of us get distracted from our inner self by all the things that's happening outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention to your inner self, there's so much happening inside that you can pay attention to and learn about. And so one of them is learning how to quiet myself, even in the noisiest of environments. But my favorite place... to write is, you know, anywhere where water is, where trees are, you know, I love nature a lot. You know, people might not know this, but I do love nature a lot. Everywhere I am, I want to see a tree or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, there was
so that would be my favorite place.
Indeed. There was a time when you will post stuff on social media. You'll be on a banana tree. You'll be there on a whole heap of trees. You'll be doing some exercise close to the water, overlooking the water. So we kind of know, say, you're a nature girl.
It's true.
Yeah, and you love that kind of thing. Now, as you prepare for Sunday, June 1st, you're going to be sharing the stage with the original king of the dancehall, Mr. Winston Foster, a.k.a. Yellowman. You also will be sharing... you also will be sharing the stage with Leroy Eptone Sibbles, the king of the bassline. You're also going to be sharing the stage with the young and talented and another good friend of mine who I've known from she was a child. She was born in Augustown, Jamaica. She was born Shauna McKenzie, a.k.a. Etana. The backing band, will be Derek Barnett. How are you preparing for this show? Because every song I play this morning is a song with me want you to sing, and I know you can't sing the whole night, but how do you prepare for an event such as this, Queen Ifrika?
Well, first of all, you know, it's been a while since I came to New York City, you know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite places to perform. Mm-hmm. And so I am not a different person, but I'm a more, way more evolved person right
yes,
now.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I'm living my truth. I'm just living in the moment of giving thanks for life. And I think that's the most important thing I'm bringing into the space. Because mm-hmm. I want, in this new life that we're in, I want people to understand that life is a journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's how you walk that journey mm-hmm. will determine how you end up in whatever destination you're headed to, you know?
Indeed, indeed.
So I just have a great set of songs that I just want to come share with everybody. You know, we're going to keep it light and nice, fancy.
Indeed, indeed.
You know what I mean? And it's so I'm honored to share the space with these names because,
yes,
again, these are great, amazing names.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
have done very well for our culture, you know?
Indeed.
So, yeah,
indeed.
I'm looking forward to that.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're chatting with the one and only Miss Ventrice Morgan, known to the world as Queen Ifrika. And on Sunday, June 1st, she's bringing her craft to the Westchester Reggae Festival inside the Westchester County Center. I am going to urge you at this moment to go get your tickets. Next week, Saturday, Queen Ifrika will be live inside VP Records, Queens, New York, up close and personal. It's a quick chat,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. You could come out and you know, take a photo with the Queen and get your tickets. VP has tickets. The Door Restaurant has ticket. People's Choice has ticket. You can also call 914-417-1686. If you are in Brooklyn, JN Money on Utica Avenue got tickets. The Westchester County Center also have tickets. Golden Cross in White Plains have tickets. Now, again, the side of Queen Ifrika that speaks volume. And I'm just so delighted how you stand up. You keep standing up for us. And you talk about yeah. life is a journey. I think you recently turned 50 years old.
And I did.
Yeah, so happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my dear. A new chapter in your life. You have turned another mm-hmm. leaf. But here's a song yep. I want people to understand, say. And I say this all the time. The colonizers have returned to Jamaica as investors, but we want
oh
them. We want them for know so them for keep it to themselves. Here, Queen, let me tell them to keep it to themselves. I'm gonna want you help me, Queen,
yes,
help
man.
Me, Queen.
You got
hey.
To make it
you
better.
To make it better.
Yes, I.
For the youth, them true gentlemen.
That's right.
Right.
Hey, right now. Voice of the Queen, Her Royal Highness, hey.
You feel like a bad man,
keep it to yourself.
Don't bring it to Jamaica,
keep it to yourself.
We no want that a jam rock,
keep it to yourself.
We can't take no more slackness.
That's right.
You can change the laws of man, but you can't change the laws of God.
Wow.
So if they not nothing up because they glad.
Wow.
And if you change a mostly man, they mad. Somebody tell me what is happening. I do a one of fish in me eyes and dish to see my son become a father. I'm a greatest wish to see. Situation kind of very ticklish, but everybody fed up from parish to parish. Yes, I'm to whom it may concern.
Yes, man.
To
who it may concern. Only keep it to yourself. Now, Queen. And you wonder why, when I look at Jamaica, the Jamaica that I grew up in was such a beautiful place. Jamaica is still nice, you know. I don't want people to get me wrong. But we have to pay close attention to these investors coming in because they're yeah. a part of the colonizers, you know. So pay attention, folks. Now, these songs, Queen, they keep us mm-hmm. so abreast. They keep us attached to the current situations and they keep our yeah. eyes open. Now, people would say, no, boy, Queen Ifrika, boy, trust me. But remember this, you know, Queen, them never like Bob, you know. Them never them never like Garvey. Them never like Bob. And it's only afterwards they realize. I had a conversation recently with two young lady, and they said to me, say, boy, Queen Ifrika, she does some great music, but I tell you all the time, I mean, I said, Queen Ifrika is like Nanny. Listen to the message.
Yeah.
Listen to the message. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Let me play that tune. Yeah. I will talk about it. Let me play that tune.
I never cuss no bad word.
Yes, I
never incite no violence. So I'm to the freedom of speech. We only talk for the people I said. I want this.
It's my freedom of speech. You will tell me set me free, but my dumb me can't speak. What happened to my freedom of speech? It's a breach of democracy to stop me from speak. Yes, it is my freedom of speech. Agree to disagree, that's the way it ought to be. Yes, it is my freedom of speech. Now that your censorship then I'm a freedom.
Hey.
You want us to be free and
dumb. So Queen, why is it you feel, why is it you feel and you think that, and I know, I kind of know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. Why is it they don't want us to speak up, Queen? Why?
Because it's globalism time we live in now. They need a one world. They need a world where everybody comes under the few elites that lead us. And so for you to remember, you know, God gave us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. These words I'm saying to you, if I had to buy them in the shop, I wouldn't be saying these words because they would choose what to sell me to say. But words are really free. It comes from a place that no scientist cannot explain how we do this right now. We back and forth in a conversation. You say something to me, I say back something to you in the instantness of it as well. So if you can find a way to censor how these words come out of an individual, that's what they want to do. Because if everyone can get up and say, the 8 billion of us in the world, we don't like what you guys are doing as the elite leaders, they would have to fix their stuff. They would have to change their approach to how they govern us. So if they can get us to talk on their wave, on their frequency, then they can continue to rule and determine how we live from day to day. And so this is why people like myself and yourself and others who are determined to speak in the natural, it's called your natural rights. You know, it's not a law given or a legal right. It's your natural right to speak freely. And if you can't defend that, then you'll become a subject of the status quo.
Indeed.
And if everyone become a subject of the status quo, then that's where the evils of the world in the Diddy's lifestyle and all these kind of lifestyle that they have been practicing, those are the things that should be censored. Those are the things that shouldn't have the freedom that they have had, because it has only destroyed the lives of so many, the war mongers in the form of leaders who push wars every day, you know. And so I am determined to be one of those from the source of life, which is the true and living creator who gives us the right to be on this side of the earth, to exercise and to practice what we were born to do.
Indeed.
In whatever sphere of society you find yourself with that level of conviction.
Indeed. You know, in 2020, you did a song called Cease All War. And you followed up in 2021 with a song called, I'm going to play that song, but I remember I was standing in the crowd at Rebel Salute when you addressed the Prime Minister and you addressed the opposition leader. The Honorable Mia Amor Motley was in the
Listen,
I remember that moment, Queen Ifrika. And every time I play this song, it brings me closer and closer to your work. It's powerful. It's powerful.
Bleed out the nation, brother, bleed out,
hey.
Bleed out the nation, brother, bleed out. Bleed out the nation, brother, bleed out. Along with us, nobody yet a reach out. Bleed out the nation, brother, bleed out. Bleed out the nation, brother, bleed out.
Now, a moment like that, Queen Ifrika, and I remember you walk up to the front of the stage and you sat on the monitor. And you said to the Prime Minister, say, Mr. Andrew Olness, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but we have a situation. We have a situation. Yeah. Why is it they're taking so long to correct it, Queen? Why?
I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm going to talk with no water in my mouth. I despise that man, Mr. Andrew Olness, because 2019, it was the year before COVID came, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was prophetic in all the sense of the word. I begged him.
Mm-hmm.
I said something very big was coming. A change was coming that is not going to be a regular change. And all I'm begging you to do is to remember the people of Jamaica. Please do not leave the people of Jamaica behind. And that is exactly what Mr. Holness did.
Wow.
He did everything else except for investing in the people of that country. And now we're seeing where you have all, yes, again, we want development, we want improvement in our country, but the first asset of any country is its people.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's where your biggest investment should go. You cannot justify what you're doing by telling me that you're going to kill, shoot and ask questions after. If Jamaicans are returning home, they must know that they must come to meet either their maker or meet the law. You're dealing with us as if Jamaicans are subjects, and it is a particular set of Jamaicans that they're dealing with like that, and it is the original people of the island. Because if you're saying that you're making a new Jamaica, it means that you know that there was an old Jamaica. And if there was an old Jamaica, what kind of old Jamaica it was? It was the Jamaica that loved its culture, loved its lifestyle, loved its heroes, loved everything that we stood for as a people.
Indeed.
Jamaica was not built on the foundation of slavery. Jamaica was a free place before slavery.
Indeed.
Slavery disrupted the peace of Jamaica. And these leaders, and Andrew Holness is the one that stood up and said he would be the one to shake down the core of the island. And I will not take that back as long as I live, because I saw him do it.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now, Queen, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of your work, and in your short journey so far, you've given us a body of work that it is going to last a lifetime. You are indeed one of the most prolific entertainers, artists to ever come out of Jamaica, and I am so proud of you. Indeed, I am so proud of you. Yes, I. And we should be proud of ourselves. That's right. Sunday, June 1st, Queen Ifrika comes to town. It's been a while. She hasn't been here. She's coming. Hey. You know, another thing, you know, Queen, I will tell my brothers and sisters who are in this space, the space of radio, the space of newspaper, the space of television, that we should always push positivity. There's some good music.
Man.
There's some good music out there, you know, but it, for some reason, Queen, for some reason, the folks are not.
Man.
Yeah, they're not promoting good music. What advice would you have for black women today, Queen?
You are the backbone of all the nations of the entire earth. Black women, you are. You are the first mother. This is why you're being treated this way. But the worst treatment that you're getting right now is the one that you are giving yourself. If you, the newbie and melanated woman, don't start to begin to understand what it means to love yourself, not wait on anyone to love you, but begin to love yourself by how you look in that mirror, accepting what you see and do the necessary things to improve on what you see, not to take away from it. Because of self-hate is one of the biggest weapons formed against black women these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of all the things that we have been through from we're little girls, we're taught that we're nothing. And so we grow up into teenagers believing it, into young adolescents believing it, into adults believing that we just are machines that should be used by anything or anyone. You are beautiful. You're amazing. You are astounding.
Mm.
No, and this is not to take away from any other woman, but we are not racist. We are race first.
Yes, indeed.
And we are saying to black sisters, now is the time to pick yourselves up off the ground and to understand that loving yourself don't necessarily mean buying a new wig and some nails, but really looking into the core of your being, accepting the things that have affected you negatively, and feed positivity into these things so that you can replace the negative with the true aura of who you really are, a Nubian goddess.
Indeed. You are my Nubian queen, my friend. And before we wrap this conversation this morning, New York, New York, Queen Ifrika is coming to town.
Please.
Tell them, queen. Tell them. Next week, Sunday, June 1st. Go ahead and tell them, queen. Go ahead.
Come out for the sexiness. Come out for the culture. Come out for the alertness. Come out. You know where you go. So when we turn up in town, we come with the light and we come with a self-awareness that is bar none.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We bring myself and we left myself naked in front of everyone. If you don't like me, come. If you love me, come even more. Bring a friend.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? It's a moment in time that we should share
indeed.
In time. You see me?
Indeed, indeed. The legendary Queen Ifrika. Before we go, Queen, I'm going to give them some vowels. I let them deal with it, and then we wrap right here. A-E-I-O-U. Okay. Now rush the A-team. That's right. She has recorded for Flames. She has recorded for VP. Did some work with Donovan Jermaine and the Penthouse team. She's coming to town Sunday, June 1st. Hey, Ventrice Morgan. Hey, that's right. That's right. 2024, A-E-I-O-U. And she's confirmed.
Confirmed.
That's right.
Remember there's still some ways left to go. Try dampen your energy after you not know, will make me tell you how I feel with about five different vowels. A-E-I-O-U, guys, nothing. Ignore the negatives, keep on going. Rope tight, but not one. The darkest sheep of the brightest one. So bounce forward, my friend, humble. The most I will be there for you. Patience is golden, faith, don't let me down. Don't let
me down. Right. You know, this is a beautiful, beautiful song. And I say this, Queen, your music,
yes,
your music speaks for itself. It speaks volume. And I love you for everything that you have done and you continue to do for us. I love you for your bravery. I love you standing up for the people of Jamaica, and you continue to do so. So I can't wait to see you. I'm going to clear my schedule for next week, Saturday.
Right.
I'm going to come to VP and I'm going to clear my schedule for Sunday, June 1st. And folks, do the same.
Yes.
Call this number now, 914-417-1686. That's 914-417-1686. Get your ticket to come out and see the Queen. Get your tickets to see the original King of the Dancehall, King Yellowman. Get
never
your
put on no fat.
You know what I'm saying? Get your ticket to see the King of the Bassline, the man who I can say is kind of responsible for Studio One. And then
living legend, man.
Yes, man. And then you have the young and talented and the beautiful Itana, Shauna McKenzie.
Yes, of course.
Backed by the legendary Mr. Derek Barnett and the Statement Band. But me, I gotta tell them one thing, you know, Queen. We're gonna keep it straight. We're gonna keep it straight. We're gonna tell them so we're gonna keep it straight. Hey, hey, hey. Boys, voice of the queen.
Grooving Radio and Happy Frog.
We have the biggest catalog. That's right. That's right.
Always some radio station I pop themselves. Grooving still not fear none.
That's right.
They say as long as the people they man is on radio,
grooving I go be number one. Be a keep it straight. Hey.
Straight like a rock. Grooving a champion.
That's right. Boy, Queen, I cannot. Boy, Queen, I can't wait for you to come to town. And I know you're
looking forward.
I am feeling the energy. We're a week away, and I'm feeling the love. I'm feeling the vibes. And thank you so much, Queen. Thank you so much for being so.
I
love you, Queen. Love you. Can't wait to see you next week, huh?
Yeah, man.
So,
New York City, you know come down.
Yes, man. Yeah, man. So next week, Sunday, Queen. And I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah,
I'll see you Saturday first, and then the county center comes alive. All right?
Definitely.
Safe travel. Can't wait to see you, Queen. One love.
All right, baby.
One love, baby. One love. That's right. That's right.
Straight like a rock, grooving to the nation.
That's right.
Grooving straight.
Hey.
New York straight.
Hey.
Jersey straight.
Hey.
Flatbush straight.
Get this straight. Get this straight.
Like a rock.
That's right.
Hey, 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 hey.
Sunday, June 1st. We not freak
on the riverside, got you don't find
lie.
No boy can buy you, no
Louis V bag.
Real swag buck, you know, in a no
trap.
And your girl now wear the same things. All when man a dash out up a new Kingston, real Jamaican man no one none. Yeah, them say all when the woman them a thief and wicked, and still them alone them want me with him and keep it straight.
Now folks, let me tell you this, and I make no apologies for this. When you look at Queen Afrika's music, when you look at the body of work that she has given us so far, how many artists can say that they have done the kind of work that Queen Afrika has done? How many folks can really, really say that? So I'm urging you, on Sunday, June 1st, please come and join us at the Westchester County Center. Queen Afrika will be live inside the county center. Get your tickets now. 914-417-1686. 914-417-1686. If you stop by VP Records now, if you stop by VP Records within the next hour and you buy three tickets, I personally, Rasklem, will give you one ticket. So you can bring your family. You can bring your entire family to come out to the Westchester Reggae Festival. I am awaiting the executive producer to come and join us to talk about the upcoming week and what folks can expect for the Westchester Reggae Festival.